This is Mark Rackley, and welcome to Techsplaining. I am here with Stephanie Donahue, Brett Lonsdale, and some guy named Rob Foster, who just followed me home like a lost puppy. Today, we're going to be talking about some of the biggest lessons learned, or maybe some of the biggest disasters we faced around SharePoint and Office, and just to kind of have a nice, kind of lighthearted podcast about, you know, things we experienced. And we know that people love experiencing pain with people and commiserating. So we thought it'd be a nice way to give you guys a light, interesting podcast to listen to. How's that, guys? How does that sound to you guys?
Yeah, sounds good. I think that's, I might learn some things about you people. And I see Scott, everybody's drinking, but me for some reason, I don't know what's going on. It's
like, this is bizarro world. This
yeah.
Well, it's nearly 9 o'clock here in the UK, so I've been drinking.
Nice.
Since Tuesday. As far as stories go, well, I thought I could go ahead and get things started off because I'm the most noisy and making noise and talking already. So I wanted to talk about kind of the biggest thing that I've learned since really getting started with SharePoint and Office 365. And what I've learned about is the importance of networking and community, and to really being successful, and also for helping take your career where you want to go. This kind of even goes back to how I got started in SharePoint and stuff. So I got started back in SharePoint in 2007. I had my boss walk into my office and look at me, and she said, "You're doing SharePoint." And I'm like, "What the heck is SharePoint?" I didn't even know what SharePoint was in 2007. So I went Googling and searching and trying to find out what SharePoint was. And I realized that in 2007, nobody else knew what SharePoint was either. It was like this barren wasteland of knowledge. And for us to do anything, we couldn't do anything. It was pretty painful. We even brought in a trainer to try to train us. I remember asking him questions that he could not answer. And they ended up giving us a refund because he couldn't tell us how to do the things we wanted to do, just like simple customizations and things, simple workflows. It was really frustrating. So I struggled with SharePoint for several months, really, really hating it. I mean, I hated it with a passion. I like to tell people that if you've never hated SharePoint, you've never used it properly. But after a long time of struggling, and I guess I should point out too that I live in a little town called Harrison, Arkansas. So it's in the middle of nowhere. So there's no technology around here. There's just nothing here. So there's no network of people to help me with anything. So I found out that there was this conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma, called Tech Fest. And they had a SharePoint track. And I thought, well, this is great. I'm going to go actually listen to it and see if people actually know anything about SharePoint. So I drove down to Tulsa, attended Tulsa Tech Fest. I saw presentations presented by this guy named Eric Shupps, this girl named Becky Isserman. Had no idea who these people were. And it dawned on me that people actually know what they're talking about. There's people who actually know this stuff. And so I talked to him after the event. This is before Shupps really knew me, so he was actually very encouraging towards me. And he helped me, he encouraged me to actually get started blogging and looking into speaking and stuff. And I like to tell people, if anyone has a problem with me, you can blame Eric Shupps. And he'll own that, actually, if you ask him about it. So from there, I started blogging. I started speaking. I spoke at an event there in Tulsa and then one in St. Louis called St. Louis Moss Camp. And that's where I met a lot more people, like Matt Brimmer being one of them. And then from there, I was able to build this network of people who actually knew what they were talking about in SharePoint. And I built some great friendships. I met all of you guys through the community as well. And I've come to a point now where I can, if I have any questions, I may not know the answer, because SharePoint and Office 365 is this huge beast of a platform, and you can't know everything, but I'll know the expert who to reach out to. So from there, I started organizing my own conference. I started speaking at international conferences, so I got to speak outside of the country. I became an MVP a couple of years ago, so it opened up some doors to Microsoft for really, again, understanding more about the technology and getting some information firsthand so I could help guide my clients where to go. I became a consultant. I mean, just these things started happening because I now was able to do my job effectively and go to those who knew what they were talking about. And because of these friendships I developed, I was able to do things like organize a conference in Branson, Missouri, you know, the armpit of America. Beautiful location, but impossible to get to. But people show up, people are learning, people are excited about it. So I want to encourage everybody to go out there and get involved, meet people, talk to them, start a blog, add some value, go start speaking. And it'll take you some cool places and you'll learn a lot. So,
you know,
that's my story.
Is that, that's kind of my story too. I was going to say something about community because it is, I think it's super important and especially to be anywhere remotely successful as you start getting deeper into the product, right? I think any company can get on and they can sign up for Office 365. They can install SharePoint. They can do whatever they need to do. But once you really start using it, you're going to find that there are things you can't do without help from the community, right? You might be the only person in your company with SharePoint knowledge, and you might be the only person out there doing it. And, you know, your only option in like your case, Mark, was to reach out broadly, right? And go to the community. And what I've found is that a lot of people are in the same boat as me, right? And a lot of people are in the same boat as you, and we have the same questions. And I don't know if that's a byproduct of the platform itself, or it's just who we are as collaborators, right? I mean, it's just SharePoint by nature draws people that are very collaborative, right? And very, you know, they want to work together. It's not like a lot of times if you go to like, you know, if you work with SQL people, and if there's SQL people listening, no offense, but you know, a lot of times you'll go to that DBA in your company and you'll ask a question and they'll sort of answer your question without giving away job security or whatever. And the SharePoint world's not really like that. It's very much a collaborative and helpful way to do things. And people seem to give back to the community almost immediately.
I think there's a business layer to that too, where it's not just about the technical implementation of the product, but I'm, as a consultant, I'm constantly asked, what's everyone else doing? You know, how do others in our industry handle this? And it's hard to know that if you've had, you know, it's great to have job security. Maybe you've been in the same company for a number of years, but then sometimes you lack that exposure to what everyone else has done or how they've implemented SharePoint or what business processes they've used and how they go about maybe similar processes to you, but in a different way than you would have ever imagined. And it's difficult to get that kind of information out of a blog sometimes. So I do think getting to know people, getting out there into the community is definitely helpful for gathering that type of information from people. Because sometimes it's hard to articulate that very well in social media.
Well, I think we take for granted that even all these years later, there's typically is still that one SharePoint guy in the company. And people are starting in SharePoint every day. And now we've thrown Office 365 and everything on top of that, on top of them as well. And so people are still starting and learning and struggling every single day. The good thing is, though, there is a lot more resources now to learn from than there was back in 2007, right? We've got all these conferences, these SharePoint Saturdays. We've got so many blogs out there. In fact, it's almost hard to decipher the noise now, right? That's almost the opposite problem these days is how do you decipher the good stuff from the bad stuff? But it's still popular. And I have some introduction sessions that I've been speaking about for years that I kind of want to get rid of, because I'm bored with them. But then whenever I do them, people come up to me and thank me because it's new and fresh to them. And we sometimes forget that this is still so new and still so frustrating for new people starting out.
Well, and I think once you get into start using it and once you get beyond the marketing documents and, you know, a lot of the things that's out there on the Microsoft site, I mean, once you actually start using it, there are things that the platform just doesn't do well, and you have to either build onto it or you have to come up with your own solution. And an example of what I'm going through right now is we're rolling out Teams very broadly to a lot of people, and the e-discovery piece around Teams and being able to say just simple things like, okay, what if Mark was in our organization, what Teams are you a member of? Things like that. Very difficult to find without writing a lot of custom extracts and reports and things like that. you know, it's because of that innovation, and I've had to reach out a lot to the community to figure out how to do this. How, what's the best way, and how would you do this? Because and it's not just things like eDiscovery. It seems like everything we want to do that's somewhat special is like that, right? To where you have to get a broad view and what's everybody doing? How are they solving this problem? Because the platform either doesn't do it well or doesn't do it at all.
Yeah. And the other good thing about the community is if you've got an ego, it's going to crush it pretty quickly. It's because you've got an, I've experienced this before. So it's good to have opinions and ideas and put them out there because people can learn, but also be opening to being wrong because there's so many ways to do the same thing. There's some right ways and wrong ways. So I have posted articles in the past I've had to tweak because the information was not as good as it could have been.
Just do what Edinburgh's offline.
Right, exactly. But people actually reached out to me and they said, hey, you could make this better, or maybe that's not quite right, or then Rob came along and crushed all my hopes and dreams. But you can go out there and put yourself out there, and people are going to help you along the way as well. It's kind of what I was wanting to say there in a roundabout way.
Yeah, I feel like no matter what I'm going to do, Spence Harbor is going to tell me I'm wrong anyway. So
that's his highest compliment, by the way, telling you that you're wrong. It means he cares enough to say something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Part of that too, Mark, you know, I think there's just so much to know. And I think maybe if you kind of know your piece of SharePoint, you kind of feel like you know all there is to know about SharePoint. And then you kind of get out into the world and you realize how much there is to know, and that it is really tough to really know everything about everything. Because some people will be better on the business side and some will be better on the developer side. And you still have server support if you're on-prem. And so there's a lot of different facets to the product, which I think getting out there and finding out from other people, you know, maybe you shouldn't have developed something because it actually exists out of the box. And, you know, those sorts of conversations help too.
Absolutely.
I think one of the biggest things that I've learned, I mean, yeah, community is certainly one of the things that I was going to talk about as well. But this goes back to very early days in SharePoint. And one of the things I learned is, you know, you've got when SharePoint came out, it was not just a brand new tool, but it was kind of like a unique idea as well. You know, that there was other platforms that were similar to it in some aspects, like Documentum for, you know, document management and so on. There was Lotus Notes that was similar in some respects, etc. But yeah, so SharePoint was a brand new idea in the day, and one of the difficulties that I saw was, and this came from a training background, because back when SharePoint was just launched, I was teaching it week in, week out, and a lot of organizations or a lot of people that are implementing SharePoint got really excited about the product, and went into their companies, tried to implement it across the board, and found that nobody adopted it. And I think one of the most important things that I learned was, you know, don't just try to give SharePoint to people for the sake of it, but actually start addressing business problems in small departments to get buy-in. And you're not selling them SharePoint, you're selling them the solution. I think that was certainly one of the biggest eye-openers for me, at least.
Yeah, I think that's critical. I mean, we've all seen so many people who've bought SharePoint, invested a ton of money in SharePoint, and then get frustrated because nobody uses it. And then they just decide they hate SharePoint and stop using it altogether. So yeah, it's understanding that SharePoint is a tool to help you solve business problems, and not just thinking if you're going to install SharePoint, it's going to be magical and happy and fairies and everyone's going to get along and sing kumbaya and all that stuff. So yeah.
Do you think that's the case that a lot of companies, because I know Microsoft touts something like 750 million Office 365 users a month, and you know, a lot of that. I mean, do you think, I mean, and maybe that's high, maybe that's low. I don't know what it's something like crazy high like that, though, is what they typically say is. But do you think the majority of those people are using SharePoint, or is that just all email? I mean, what is, I mean, because I think we live in a fairly unique echo chamber, right? You know, we talk to SharePoint people and we do SharePoint projects and we do Office 365 projects. But in the reality, I mean, I'm not sure that it's being used to its fullest extent where it should, or where it can be, you know. And I talk to so many people outside, just personal friends, that are like, oh, my company has SharePoint, but you know, we never use it. It's kind of just on the shelf, or, you know, it's there. But I mean, Is that the norm, do you think?
Well, I think Jeff Tepper's quoting figures in keynotes and so on of actually a high percentage of that number are people adopting SharePoint as well. But again, you know, there's a lot of things that rely on SharePoint, as we know, Office 365 groups and Teams and so on. So there could be a bit of vagueness in there. How many are actually physically using SharePoint or how many are using SharePoint because Teams is based on it.
or they're using it as a file share, right? Everyone still thinks SharePoint file share. Yeah, we're using SharePoint. We got this file share out there. We've basically duplicated our file share mess on-prem and moved it into SharePoint. So yes, we're using SharePoint. That could be a lot of it too. I've seen very few organizations that are actually using SharePoint to its fullest extent. I don't know if I've ever seen any organization use it to its fullest extent because you can do just so much with it. But I think Deloitte is a great example of people who really push SharePoint to its limits and take advantage of a lot of its features. Because the stories you've told us, you know, it's impressive, the stuff you guys are doing.
Yeah, I mean, we've always been, and maybe this is my story. Right? ever since I joined the firm in, gosh, I guess it was 2006. Have always been a SharePoint shop, right? And we launched. Originally, our big launch of SharePoint was something called My Sites, right? And we built a profile system around that to where we did a fairly custom implementation of My Sites to where we had a company directory and you could search that. We would preload all of the attributes in there, and it was branded a certain way. It didn't look like My Sites at all. It was very kind of custom with that. And we learned a lot about, customizing SharePoint coming into, it was literally, we launched with the release of SharePoint after it went general availability, like within a week. So we were very developing this very much in beta. We're changing a lot of things and along the way and launched it. And it was very successful, but we learned about, with SharePoint customizations and stuff. One of the biggest things I learned there is that you can do SharePoint customizations and then you can overdo SharePoint customizations, and that's a major lesson because you can, especially with SharePoint on premises, you can take it to the brink and you can really, really customize the platform to do what you want. There are a little more controls in place now with 2016 to where things have to be a little more cloud ready. But back in the day, back in 2007, SharePoint was really touted as a development platform.
Yeah.
They wanted you to customize it, and where that was the message from all the product team information was, yes, go, customize it. And we ended up building something very usable for our people, but very messy to maintain over time. And that was something that we learned, right? Is the don't over customize the thing, right? Just leverage SharePoint for what it does best. Use as much out of the box, learn as much out of the box as you can, and customize only where needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember being at SharePoint Saturday, Tampa, and, people were voting on whether they thought SharePoint was a platform or a solution. And the vast majority of people put their hand up and said, yeah, it's absolutely a platform. It's somewhere where you can start creating customizations and building your own solutions in it. And that's certainly evolved now. That was my belief back then, but I don't think we'd get the same ratio of people thinking it as just a platform to build a solution if we did that same thing now.
Yeah. We as an example, learning from that and moving, we had a very large content management system in CMS 2002, Microsoft CMS 2002, and we actually migrated that into SharePoint 2007. Different farm, right? And we had a farm tuned for kind of My Sites and then a farm tuned for, say, web content. And we ended up not customizing that as much just because of what we learned with the customization efforts on My Sites and was able to migrate in. And it made the migration efforts as SharePoint 2007 turned into 2010, turned into 2013. It made that migration path so much smoother because of the decisions we made not to over customize that platform. So as we learn from our mistakes, and I say it's not really a mistake, as we learn from our experience, it really transferred into moving and growing the platform into something maintainable over time.
Yeah, I think that a lot of customers and companies are recognizing now that they over-customize when they look at going into Office 365 and they're being told, you can't move that. You're going to have to redesign it and do something else. And they see the bill for what it's going to take to move what they've got now into something similar in Office 365. And it's not even the same thing because they've got to re-engineer so much. So I think a lot of people are feeling that pain. And that's probably the best piece of advice we can give is learn that out of the box SharePoint and go out of the box whenever possible.
Yep.
So Stephanie.
I don't have any stories.
I know that's not true. I've got at least 7 that you could tell about me and get me in trouble. But
it's funny to hear, Rob and Mark talk, your development backgrounds, mine quite a bit different, right? I kind of came up through the help desk and the network administrator side of things. And so, when I look back at the type of work that I've done over time and, the types of things I'm still working on, I guess what sticks out to me is the business process itself hasn't really changed a whole lot. I think we've kind of muddled along with our on-premises solutions and creating things, but the end result, the end goal is still very much the same of what it's been for quite some time. We're constantly looking for better ways to work. And the shift has been where we're working, not what, right? We still have a lot of the same similar business processes, but we've had to transition all of that into mobile devices and on the go and being able to do things in a completely different way, do the same things in a different way. So, for me and my background, I find that to be probably the most challenging, right? We're still dealing with all the stuff we've always dealt with. How do I get off of file shares? And I always hear from people, over and over, we have the most messy file share you've ever seen. We have the most chaotic SharePoint environment. We're trying to calm things down. We're trying to get organized. We hear that story over and over, and that has been the story for 10 years, right? Mark had asked prior to this podcast, try to come up with one, crazy story or one thing that you really had to dig in and fix for a customer. And, it's funny. I see themes. It's the same story and the same conversation often. Everybody comes in on that silo and they think they're the only one, and having the exposure that we do to the community, you just kind of find out that everybody's kind of in the same place and struggling through the same things. And so, I think that the platform itself, we'll call it a platform, a solution, the solution has come a long way. Office 365 is starting to meet a lot of those needs now on the things that we were struggling with before on usability. So, I hope going forward that this is, it's kind of a revolution of sorts. I think we're seeing, you were saying the numbers earlier. There's a lot of people in Office 365. And so this community, people we're working with, it's huge now, and it's easier and easier to find people. Mark, you said you had to go to one individual event in Tulsa to find people. And I think you could probably get up and go to your neighboring, somebody in your same business building, right? If you're in a building with a bunch of other companies, you could go to your neighbor and talk to somebody, and they probably know what SharePoint is, or they know what Office 365 is. So
I still have to leave Arkansas to talk to anybody about SharePoint because it's just not here. It's I live in the Ozarks. There's nothing here, folks.
So I have a story about when I broke something and had to fix it.
I love these stories. Go for it.
So this is actually back in 2003.
Wait, it wasn't my code, was it?
It wasn't your code. No. Okay, that's another story. back in 2003, I'd been working for a Microsoft CTEC at the time, teaching things like C# training and SQL and so on. And I worked alongside Steve Smith, who was teaching a lot of NT4, Windows 2000 stuff. It was all Microsoft official curriculum courseware. And anyway, cut a long story short, we decided to leave and do freelance training without even SharePoint on the radar yet. We came across SharePoint also by accident. I think most people did. Steve was demonstrating the product to me and so on, and then said, hey, there's somebody that needs some training on developing in SharePoint. You can do that. You're a developer. Now, I'd never even heard of SharePoint at this point. And we got hold of the Microsoft official curriculum, and I thought, there's got to be a mistake here, because there was like 4 pages to this manual. And, you know, if you've seen Microsoft official curriculum before, it's normally like 200 or 300 pages in a big ring binder. But no, this was hardly anything to it. And it kind of described SharePoint in a paragraph, and then the next page was go build a web part. So yeah, there was a sort of lot of learning to do. And anyway, this I managed to get through some training, and I'd been playing around with SharePoint for a little while. And this customer was about 200 miles away from where I live. And at the end of it, they said, "Look, we've set out with SharePoint, but we've had this this one guy. He's gone and created all these sites and put some content in these sites in the wrong site collection." And I said, "Well, that's okay. We can move that." And there was obviously the ability to save a site as a template, include the content, and so basically, I went through and created a new site collection. We saved these a handful of sites as a template, recreated them with the content, and he said, "Can you show me how to now remove these old sites?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So just go to the to the site settings, and in there you'll see this option says delete this site. So off we did it, and we were done. We'd finished the training, and I got back in the car, and I drove the 200 miles home, and arrived home to about 10 missed calls on my phone. And he was at the root site when he hit delete this site. And the option looks exactly the same as delete this site on any other site, even if you're the root site. But we know that that's going to delete the entire site collection and not just the site. So everything had gone. And the only backup they had was a backup of the content database. So they were calling me back, but this is a 200-mile drive. And I was probably going to fall asleep behind the wheel if I headed up on a Friday evening back up there. So I got them to copy their content databases to a removable drive and put it in a taxi. And literally the taxi did the 200-mile drive to me, and I managed to do a restore and everything. But at that point, I had no idea how to do this stuff, and I was actually again reached out to the community, and I think Steve was unavailable at the time. He had known the answer, but I got onto Bill English and Bill English taught me through step by step how to recover from just the content database and get their content back again. So that was certainly a big learning curve. And you know, when it's a little bit like when you were drunk and somebody says, "Hey, do you remember what you did last night?" And then suddenly you think, "Oh no, please tell me I didn't do that." Yeah, exactly the same thing. So as soon as I got back and I saw these missed calls, I had a feeling that he's just deleted everything.
Yeah. Wow. That's so crazy.
Yeah, so that was horrible.
did they? I mean, once everything came back up, I guess they were totally cool. They were like, "Hey, thanks."
They were totally cool, apart from their backup was a few days old. But
yeah, better than no backup, though, right?
Yeah, so they lost some content, but
if you make something idiot-proof, they make a better idiot.
And bizarre, but back then in 2003, because of that, I started looking into backup solutions and so on, and made a recommendation to them of AvPoint. And at that point, I'd never heard of AvPoint, but you know, there they were showing how to backup and restore at item level and so on. I'm like, "Oh, this is fantastic."
Yeah, buy that. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's cool. And you know, and this was, you got to remember though, I mean, this was way, 10 years before the recycle ban, right? I mean, that was
14 years ago.
Yeah, that's amazing that it's that it's been that long since SharePoint 2003. And it's kind of interesting to see how the platform's evolved. I know at the Evolutions conference one time, Steve Smith actually had installed SharePoint 2001, then 2003, then 2006. He had all of the versions of SharePoint running in VMs, and he showed the evolution of it. And it's really come a long way.
That's right. Yeah, I was doing that was the keynote, and part of what I had to do was build a web part again in 2003. to cast my mind right back. It's like, yeah, now we've got to copy these files.
I never had to do much with 2003, and I'm very, very thankful for that.
Oh, you had it easy from 2007 onwards. Yep. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So my disaster story is not quite as hairy as yours, Brett. No one had to jump in a cab or travel 200 miles. But I remember back in 2007 days, we were using alerts extensively to send messages, and SharePoint Designer workflows were these cool things that we could do so many great email notifications with because we could customize them. Well, I had forgotten that we had a workflow triggered for the change of an item on this list that we had that had about 20,000 items in it. And I decided that I needed to make a change to one of the default settings in all of these entries. So I opened up this list in datasheet view and proceeded to update every item in the list. And so my workflow fired for every single item in the list, and my boss got flooded with like 16,000 emails, and she came screaming at me to make it stop. And I'm like, I couldn't make it stop. So that was a mistake that I made one time that I hope to never repeat. So there's my little disaster story. Not quite as intense as a deletion, but I was sore for a while from it.
So Stephanie, if you get 16,000 emails this weekend, Mark did it.
No, actually that's her normal weekend email that she gets.
Yeah.
Do you have a disaster story, Rob or Stephanie?
I do, but I can't share. I can't do it.
I must like block mine out of the memory, like traumatic experience or something. I can't think of any. I don't know.
What about hiring Mark?
She's still trying to recover from that disaster.
Yeah, I guess one, we had a, we had one time where, I think it was I think it was 2010. It might've been 2013. I think it was 2013, SharePoint 2013. We were doing a user profile sync, and before several service packs came out, it took, because we have so many people in our organization trying to sync up in, you know, all the user profiles in from Active Directory, and then actually querying Active Directory would happen fast, but then actually the processing of that data would happen. It took, I don't know, it's something like 48 days, right, to process all this and get our user profile up. And something had happened along the time of that 48 days. And if you're familiar with the user profile sync, which Spence Harbor is the master of, it was very flaky at best. It was, based off of Forefront Identity Manager, and there were some pieces of that that would work in SharePoint most of the time. And what happened was that during the sync, our backups stopped working, and nobody really knew that these things had stopped working. And we got through this 48 days, and something got corrupted in our user profile database. And we were like, well, we'll just restore from backup. And something came out, and it was like, yeah, so about those backups, they weren't there. So we had to wait another 48 days to sync the user profile. That was not a fun conversation for Rob, and I had a very tough 3 months, but it was good.
But you'll never do that again, right?
We always make sure backups are working now. Yes. That's, but you know, things like that, right. Is it's so much better now, right? We don't have that problem because it takes hours instead of, right, you know, days, weeks, and months even for some of this stuff. So, I mean, a lot of the advances that have been made on the platform are that we had issues before are not issues now.
Yeah. And I think maybe we take for granted sometimes the vast improvements they're really making constantly to the system, because we're, you know, humans, and we get really anal about one thing we don't like, and we want to complain about that one thing. But in the grand scheme of things, they've just improved so many things so massively. And as much as you may not, you know, you hate change, you know, we're the old guys saying, get off of our lawn now with these modern sites, you know, get off my lawn, I don't like these. Well,
Mark, from say that like you're referring to others.
No comment. But no. But if you actually look at it, the investments and the improvements and what's there, it's really impressive the amount of effort they put into making things better and more usable. And stay off my lawn.
Yeah. It's a big lawn, right?
Yeah, it is.
I guess thanks everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed the storytelling here for today. I know we enjoyed telling them and seeing each other sweat a little bit on the webcast as we're telling them and relive these stories. But if you have any comments or questions, please shoot us an email at info@techsplaining.net. And otherwise, we will talk to you in the next podcast.
Thanks, everybody.